We'll turn to Mark chapter 5. We're going to read some verses. We're going to make a few comments, and then we're going to go through a little PowerPoint here and show you a little bit about the history of our church, or particularly where we met, some of the buildings we've been at, where we've come from, and where God's brought us to, and how God has been with us throughout really the history of the church. Mark chapter 5 and verse 1. Mark chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, and they came over to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs, which is like a graveyard, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. It's crazy. He was really out of control. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, cried with a loud voice, and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there were nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, for they were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. They were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for this evening, this time that we can be here. Lord, as we reminisce a little about what you've done in the past and try to tie that into what you want to do in the future, I pray that you would be with us. And God, just thank you for a wonderful day. And speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, this is the story of the man here that was possessed with devils. This man was possessed, and he lived in the, really the graveyard is the best way to put it. And he had supernatural strength, and he kind of wandered around. He inflicted pain upon himself. He hurt himself. He couldn't be bound. He couldn't be controlled because of the demon that was in him. And then one day he sees Jesus and starts having a dialogue with Jesus. And Jesus finds out that there's not just one demon in him, but there are many. And so they see the swine there, and the demons, Jesus tells them to get out. And they're like, hey, listen, there's a lot of it. Can we go into the swine? Now, one problem there, the Jews were not supposed to be eating pork, so I don't know what they were doing with a bunch of swine around, but he said fine, and they go into the swine, and the swine run, and they all jump off a cliff, and they die. And these people, the way they react to it is they see what's going on, and they're afraid, and they're like, they want Jesus to leave. They saw his power. Instead of tapping into it, it's like, we don't want you around. We're afraid. Why don't you go? And so Jesus is going to leave, and then the man who has the demons cast out of him, they see him, and he's clothed, and he's in his right mind, and he's normal again. Well, this man naturally wants to go with Jesus, and he asks Jesus, goes, Can I go with you? I want to go with you. I'm changed. My life has changed, and the demons are gone, and I'm back to normal. And you imagine what this man went through. Jesus says, no, I got something else for you. I want you to go home to your friends, and I like this phrase, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. I like that phrase. By the way, you know what the job of every Christian is? It's to be able to go around and tell people what great things the Lord hath done for us. And I mentioned this morning, we saw that video this morning, a very good video. We'll put it up on our website. But just people in our church telling what great things the Lord hath done for them. By the way, people need hope. You know how people get hope? We can tell them what Jesus can do, and we need to tell people what Jesus can do. But you know that what the best way for them to really tie into that hope is to see what Jesus has done. You could go tell somebody, if you're going to tell somebody about what Jesus did and he's not doing anything in your life, they're going to have a hard time believing it. But when they see how God has worked in your life, they see the things that God has done. And by the way, I think sometimes we forget what God has done in our lives. It's a shame sometimes we get cleaned up. And we start to get a little bit complacent and we don't serve God to the extent that we did. And now we're busy and we're working and we find excuses and we kind of lay off. Listen, if God's done great things in our life, it's not time to lay off. It's time to get going and let people know what God is doing. That is our job. That video was good for us. When we think back to the history of our church, and to be honest with you, I wanted to do this because Brother Fisher just told us a little bit a couple Thursday nights ago about his church. And I'm like, man, I want to go to his church now. Okay? And some of the stuff, you know, and having people meet outside, which we've been doing that for a while, and having people meet upstairs and they stomp their feet. And, you know, a lot of those things, we've been doing that since the very early days. By the way, some of the obstacles we're facing or that we face those early on. I mean, that was just right from the very beginning. And I want us to see what great things God has done. I want us to have a reminder tonight that God has worked in our church, and particularly now we're thinking about buildings, and Brother Fisher was talking about buildings. God has worked through our church and led us to where we're going. When we started the church, I think God's plan was eventually that brand new building for us. Now, we had to take a bunch of steps to get there, and we're still in those steps right now. But we need to see that God works, that he is going to get us there. I want us to see just a little thing. I want to show a few I want the lights out. Can we get these? I want the front and that back. It won't be too dark. If your wife's next to you, you can hold her hand. If a girl's next to you that's not your wife, but she's cute, don't touch her. Okay? I want the back row too. If we get these backwards, thank you. Okay, Brother Jeremy, can we fire it up? I won't tell all the stories. I want to look at our heritage. Buildings are a tool, and it's just, you have to meet somewhere. Let's look at the first one. It started right there with Pastor Esposito. Now, Pastor went out on deputation when he was in Chicago, and you know the story. He started reaching Cambodian refugees on his bus route, and then he decided that, you know, maybe God was calling him to be a missionary to Cambodia. But, of course, at that time, Cambodia was closed, communist, and they could not get in. And then Pastor found out that the biggest concentration of Cambodian refugees in the United States was, in all places, his hometown, Long Beach, California. So Pastor went out to get to raise support, because in the early days of this church, it was a missions church in every sense of the word. Now, say Pastor doesn't know how to, was he from the South region? No, I think he lost a couple of the letters as this was up in the box, okay? We just put that up so Brother Snyder would understand it. Brother Snyder, we're reaching refugees for Christ, all right? But so that's, we thought we'd just throw that in for you there, okay? Next. This building right here, Samoan House Church. You say, I've never heard us talk about that church. There's a reason why. When we were going to start the church, Pastor met them, and we started visiting for the church 6 months before it started. And so Pastor Esposito, it's a house now, it was a Samoan church, And pastor met with them and said, hey, can we rent? We're starting a church. Can we rent this building? And they said, yes. And it was all set up. And a week before our first service, they called pastor and said, nah, we don't want to rent to you anymore. See you later. 1 week before the first service, we had our first building crisis. Now, fortunately, we did have a building. Let's move on to the next one. MacArthur Park. That was, we had rented MacArthur Park for the first service only. So that gave 2 weeks to find a new church building, all right? And so no stress there, starting a church. And you know how it is, the first Sunday and all the stuff to get ready and got to find a church building. That'll cause a lot of stress. And pastor was under a lot of stress, but found it. But we had our first service, MacArthur Park, August 28th, 1988. We'll show a couple pictures here to let you see what happened. By the way, same building. Next. We had 101 in attendance on our very first Sunday, that Sunday. God blessed in a great way. This was a little room where we had the adults. Okay, next. That's Pastor Esposito preaching up there through an interpreter. Okay, next. By the way, look at these pictures. We were all much younger in those days. We had a big potluck fellowship outside. Next. Just showing you a little bit. Next. It's the other next. Keep going. Okay, that's just our fellowship. Had a great crowd on that Sunday. Pastor's praying. Next. Now, pastor was able, I don't remember how, but he was able to find this church building right here before our second Sunday. And by the way, you know you have your ups and downs in life. Well, we experienced that the very second week. Pastor found this building. These were great people. The name of the church was a little bit long. It was the Walk With Me Church of God in Christ, okay? And then they went by the acronym. Oh, we're WWCs. I don't even remember. It was like they had a million different letters in that thing. It almost looked like a Russian name without the vowels, you know. But we met there. Our second Sunday, I'll never forget, which was our first Sunday in our new building. Man, the first Sunday, 101 people in attendance. God blessed. It was a beautiful day. The next Sunday was Labor Day Sunday. It was 110 degrees. We had half the crowd, and they had zero air conditioning. It was up until that time, that was the hottest day in Long Beach's history. It was not good. That was a small building. So what did we do? We quickly outgrew this. By the way, our church service that day started at 3:30. That's not the funny thing. The funny thing is, these people started their morning service at 9:30. We would show up for church at 3:30, and they weren't done. They'd be in there having a great time. It's like, you've been in church for 6 hours now, and they're having a great time. So we would have to wait across the street on the grass. I forget the name of that school. I think it's Whittier. Next picture. There's the inside of the building. It had a little balcony up there, and you see that. We'll go to the next picture. Inside the auditorium. That was a nice little auditorium. It basically just had an auditorium. It had a room in the back and a kitchen and a couple bathrooms. That's it. Next. Okay, you can picture from the balcony of Pastor Esposito going up to the stage. Next. Okay, meeting outside is not new. That was our English-speaking class outside. Now, we took advantage. This was around the side of the house. That wasn't the only class. Go to the next one. That's pastor on the platform again. Next. That was the little junior church there. That was the only other room we had. Next. Okay, the auditorium again. Pastor preaching again through an interpreter in the early day. That was our teen department. We taught Sunday school. Couldn't you do that now? They have like a, it's like metal bars. But we would teach the teenagers right there on the stairs. I mean, that was our Sunday school class. Next. Okay, teaching again. Next. Our teenage department grew, so we split them in half, and then we split them into fours. So I used to teach in the van, okay? And shoes were optional. By the way, the van there, most of the people that are coming, especially a lot, they had this Buddhist background, and they didn't quite understand Christianity. So we came before the church and said, listen, we're praying that God's going to give us a van. To be honest with you, they all thought it was like, you know, some of the teenagers are like, what is that all about? God doesn't give you a van. So we prayed about a van, and a week and a half later, Brother Goddard called us and said, you know, we have an extra van. Do you guys need a van? And so God provided her van. You say, whatever happened to that van? The gang stole it. And when we found it back, they had taken the tires off. They had busted all the windows, and they spray painted their name in it. So that van died and went to heaven. It might have went to the other place. It wasn't real stable. Okay, next. My wife teaching outside the girls. Next. Inside classes. Next. Miss Mary, Mrs. Esposito teaching outside. Look at the beautiful carpet out there. Say, nice green with a little bit of concrete underneath. Next. By the way, that's just how we always did things. Next. So, we start out growing this building, and the fact that we didn't like starting church at 3:30 when typically we didn't get in to start till 4 o'clock at night. So I think my wife one time was taking one of the Cambodian ladies to the doctor, and she was waiting in the waiting room while the lady went in, and she got talking to somebody, and the lady said, you know what, you should talk to my pastor. I bet you he would let you guys rent our church. And so Pastor Esposito got in contact, and we met at the First Friends Church over on 8th and Atlantic, and our start time dropped from 3:30 to 1 in the afternoon. And we were able to have a night service, and we would come, and we would have service from 1 till about 3, and then we would take the adults home and take some of them home, and then a lot of the teenagers would stay all day, and we'd play ping pong and hang out, eat, and then we would have an evening service together. Okay, let's take a couple looks there. That's our first anniversary. We started a bus ministry. And we had the van, we had two, pastor had a van route, and I had a van route, and we would come in and meet before the 1 o'clock service, and that was our first anniversary right there. We don't have the picture, but pastor got pied on that day with a in the face, because I think we had over 100 kids. Next. That was our first anniversary service there. I think we had over 300 on our first anniversary. Next. Again, the children were singing on that day. Next. Outside the crowd. Next. We had space everywhere. Next. Pastor again downstairs. There was a fellowship area downstairs. That's where we had to have our evening service. Next. Our potluck fellowship downstairs. Next. Do we have a picture of the children singing again? Next. That's our baptistry. It's a fiberglass bathtub, and we plug the hole. The only bad thing about it was when you went in to get baptized, the water came out all over the place. Now, we love that baptistry, except someone broke into the building and stole it. I mean, they carried our bath. They just took the bathtub out, and now we didn't have a baptistry. It was a First French church. They don't believe in baptism, so they didn't have a baptistry, so we had to have this. And they stole it. So I don't know where it is now. I hope someone's taking a bath or a shower and having a good time. So that was, I remember we're at the First Friends Church, and it was a little bit rough. We had a rough crowd. I remember I was out in the van picking up teenagers and children for church, and I would pick them up, and we kept going to the door, and it's like, no, I'm not coming because there's a big fight at church today. And I kept hearing that. I'm like, hey, there's not going to be a fight at church. Where are you guys? Yeah, someone's going to get shot. And so we kept hearing that, and then a lot of the kids didn't come, and so I got to church, and I told pastor, and one of the teenagers came and said, listen, some guys are coming. They said they're gonna get some guys that are here, and the rumors are going to shoot one of them. And so we're like, you know, so what we did is we sent everybody to Sunday school class, and we waited, and they showed up. They came in the back. They parked their car behind all the cars. They didn't lock their doors, and about six guys came in, and we said, come with us. We have a class just for you. And we took them into their own room, and we said, listen, we know why you guys are here, and you're not doing anything. And they're like, oh, we're not here to cause trouble. And we had Sunday school just for those six guys right there, and someone got up and just let them have it. I don't know if any of them got saved, but we had a really good time, and then we sent them home. But that's the kind of stuff we faced in the early days. By the way, pastor's standing like that because he doesn't want to get flooded, all right? All right, next. Long Beach Boulevard. Look, I think we have a little video clip here. We don't have a lot.
School.
That's our Christian school.
Ping pong table. The building would later be condemned.
That was just that's the front. You say, why you show that? That's the only picture of the front of the building we have. It got tore down. It was rat infested. It was not good. Okay. The First Friends Church, they got a new pastor. They needed to do something. So they're like, you know, you guys are going to have to move because we had a vision and so forth. And so we had to get this building. And that was our Christian school, ping pong table. How many students did you have? Well, how many squares are there on a ping pong table? There's four. We had four students. Each of them got a square on the ping pong table, okay? You say, that sounds kind of, that's how we did things. We had a table. It looked perfect for Christian school. And we started it that summer. And then in the fall, we enrolled a new group. But we don't have a lot of pictures of that building. I just remember it was not good. Because we had a Christian school, Long Beach, the city of Long Beach brought some inspectors by to check it out. And one of the inspectors was a Christian. And as they're inspecting, he pulled Pastor to the side and said, "Let me just tell you something right now. Get out of here now." He goes, "These guys are going to be on you forever if you don't get out of this building." And so we left. We were there for 9 months. We do have a few pictures of it on the inside. It had like on the bottom floor was like an auditorium, and we built a couple offices. Upstairs were four apartments. One guy, there was a deaf guy that lived in one. We couldn't communicate with him. He was the manager. He couldn't talk to us. He couldn't communicate with us, but he was the manager. That's where we're supposed to take all the problems to. And then Brother Board lived in one upstairs. Next. That we had a friend day, I think, that's outside. Next. Say, why did you? That was our Sunday school class up in Brother Board's living room. Okay. Next. Next. Look at Jerry. Well, go back. Isn't he cute? Look at Jerry. That's Jerry right there. Barney Fife himself. Okay. Yeah, right there. He's cute. Yeah. All right, next. That was our service. Next. Hey, there's Pross. That kid used to ditch church all the time. I pick him up for church. One time I picked him up for church. His mom's like, "He's where's home? Where is he? You lost him." I'm like, "Man, I drove by. He was at the park playing basketball." I'm like, "Hey, get in here." I'd take him home. His mom was yelling. It wasn't very good. Next. Pastor Esposito. And that's Tim. Next. Anaheim. That building was condemned, so we quickly had to find a building. We found this one. It was an old computer school, and 2,400 square feet. When we went inside, everything was painted dark. I mean, dark. So we had to repaint the whole building and everything. But Anaheim Boulevard, we were there for about 7 years, I believe, from 91 till about 97. And there was a lot of things that happened there. So we had this 2,400 square foot building. It had one room. It had, I think, two small rooms. One was an office. Another small room in the front that was pastor's office. One little room you could put about 15 people in, 20 people. And then we had two rooms. We knocked out the wall, and that was our auditorium. And it was small. I mean, 2,400 square feet. It was small. How were we there for so long? We were very creative. By the way, see those, you say, why do you have metal up against those? Because we had a kid shot during school. It was a gang shooting, and they came through the hallway. It was actually Chantha, missionary to Singapore right now, and he was there. They were playing basketball after school. The gangs came by and shot him in the leg. And so we decided if they're going to shoot at us, we might as well make it hard for them to aim, so we put the metal up so they could at least not see us when they were shooting at us. This was a bad area. There was a lot of things that happened there. Next, Brother Sareth. He's been there since the whole time outside. Next. Okay, you know the story. We met outside under a tarp. We figured you don't have room for church inside, we'll have church outside. We made one huge mistake, blue tarp. We set up the tarp. We were so proud of ourselves. This is going to be great. We have a nice outdoor auditorium. Well, when you're underneath a blue tarp, it's kind of like an ant being under a magnifying glass. It was hot in there. It was bad. It like magnified the heat. So we didn't stay under there very long. We switched to the silver bottle. But we had to meet outside. That was our English service outside. The Khmer met inside. And so that's just what we had to do. Next. That's our baptistry right there. We were a little bit higher class now. We bought a horse trough. Now, by the way, we did not baptize all the time. What we would do is wait. I remember one time we hadn't baptized in a while, and I think I don't know if the baptistry had a hole in it or something. So we got it fixed, and we did a mass baptistry. We had to catch up, and we baptized probably about 100 people. that's not the bad thing. The bad thing is when we got into the 90s, that the top of that water didn't look so good. It looked like it had an oil slick. And so we're telling people, listen, when you close your mouth, don't open it, okay? If you drink this stuff, you might grow a third eye or something. And, you know, that was our baptistry. That's what we, by the way, I think that's Brother Tongdi right there. Wow. And there's Brother Board. All right, next. That was, we actually did, we needed some space for some classes. So across the street were a couple of really small businesses, and we were able to rent those. And so that was our nursery across the street. Next. Oh, hey, Sunday school department. We wanted to build a new Sunday school wing. You see those little tarps? That's our Sunday school wing. What we did is just got the bars, you weld them together, you put a tarp on it and say, there's a Sunday school class, there's a Sunday school class, there's a Sunday school class, there's a Sunday school class. So that's one of our Sunday school wings. Next. There's another one. That's one of the classes against the other wall. Same thing. We just throw, by the way, we got smart. That's not the blue tarp, that's the silver tarp, so it repels the heat. Next. Oh, that, see that guy to the left? That's Brother Pineda, teaching Sunday school. This was in there was a house behind it that Pastor rented, and behind there was a yard, and then there was a garage. Behind the garage was this junky area, so we figured Sunday school space. So we threw Brother Pineda out there, and God bless him. Next. Oh, there's another one of our Sunday school wings. By the way, that building didn't take nearly as much money to build as what we're doing. Next. There you go. There's another one. That's the bus. Is that Brother Pineda back there? That guy, he just wanted to be in every picture. Now, that used to be the nursery. One time we were, oh, there's Jessica. There's Stephen right there. I'm missing some people. Huh? Right here. The little girl, and that's Stephen. He's always had his mouth open. Hasn't changed. There's Elizabeth, Brother Ross, your niece. Well, but anyhow, that used to be the nursery. And I remember one time I'm teaching Sunday school and someone comes in and right in the middle of my lesson and says, you got to leave now. I'm like, what do you mean leave now? It's like, I'm teaching my class. No, leave now. They were fixing the inside of this bus for Sunday school, and someone left a hammer out, and they picked the hammer up and slapped Stephen upside his head. And that's why he acts the way he does to this day. We had a basketball league. The bus would be parked right here, and part of the bus was right on the basketball court. I mean, it's just like we had to run around it to play, but it's just what we did. That was cheap, cheap, cheap. By the way, we had a bus ministry back in the day. Now, we didn't have a bus. We had a bus ministry. We would run it on Saturday. At that time, we had two divisions. We had the A. They would come in and then go home, and then we had the B would come in. We'd have about 400 kids come in at that time, 300 to 400 on any given Saturday, and we didn't even have a bus. It's just, you know, they walked in. Back in the day, I don't even know if it was legal, the truck with the little shell on it, and they'd put the kids in the back, stuff we would never do today. But that's just what we had to do. Next. Oh, yeah, there's our other Sunday school wing. Now, these kids, they didn't get tarp. I remember I was out here one time, I heard the teacher saying, hey, be thankful for your outside, because being outside in the sun, you can get some vitamin D. I'm like, the kids don't care about vitamin D. But and then there's the Sunday school bus. There's our basketball court. Next. Just the kids out, severed classes outside. We did what we could. It was just how it worked. Next. That's a crowd after church. Parking lot / everything. There's another Sunday school wing. Okay. Next. People. There's Jerry again. This time he does have a gun. You say, why does he have a gun? I was teaching Sunday school again. Bad things happen when you teach Sunday school. I was teaching Sunday school, and someone came into my class right in the middle of the lesson, said, you need to come out here for a minute. I'm like, I'm teaching Sunday school. Leave me alone. They said, there's a gang fight in the building. And so we ran out there, and sure enough, in the foyer, these guys are going at it with baseball bats and pipes. And so Pastor found out. He come running out of the Khmer service. And when they came, I just told them all to leave, and they all left. And then Pastor's like, no, let's go get them. I'm like, all right. So we chased them. We didn't get to them. They got in their car, took off. I don't know what we were going to do when we caught them, but it might have been fun. I don't know. But that kind of stuff happened. Because of the help, there was a lot of those in the gangs that were being helped. And the newspaper several times came out and wrote articles about about these kids that were being reached about Pastor Esposito. Of course, right there, he's called Reverend Esposito, but he doesn't want to be called Reverend. Back at those times, the gang wars between the Cambodians and the Spanish gangs were really, really bad. And so, actually, pastors told the story where the police came to him and said, we want to have a truce here. And pastor went to the park, and he found the leader, one of the main leaders of the Cambodian gang, talked to him, said, hey, let's have a truce. They met at our building with the leaders of the Spanish gangs. They had SWAT teams there with guns to make sure that this thing went down without a hitch. And for a while there was some peace there. There's our building again. The fire. One time, now, again, we're right in the middle of Gangsville. We're going to start our Sunday night service, and pastor was in his office, and Mrs. Esposito, I just happened to be in the foyer. I saw her come running into the building, and she didn't look good, you know. She didn't have this look on her face of concern, and then she ran right by me, went into pastor's office. 5 seconds later, pastor comes running out. She's following him, so I follow them. Somebody threw a bomb into their garage and blew it up. And so, I don't know, we had a picture. We didn't have church that night. Because the church building was right, I mean, here was the back of the church building, the alley, and then the garage. And so it's like, you can't be in the building. So what'd you do for church? We watched that burn down. And that's the area where we were at. Next. I went to, during the time we were there, I went to Washington, and my wife's grandparents were having their 50th anniversary, and my in-laws have a farm, and so we went there, and my father-in-law had built this nice tarp for his front lawn, so the whole, you know, farmers and they have big families, this tarp so that they could have a little place to go underneath and have a little celebration for their anniversary. And I saw that, and I'm like, that's a better tarp than the one we're using. We had little metal bars, and they would break, and when it would rain, just like this over here, the water would get stuck. During the service, if it was raining, an usher would be standing there with a stick. And when the tarp would start to sag because of the water, he would just lift the stick and the water would go over the side. And that's just what we did. But I asked my father-in-law, he built that. I said, when you're done with that, what are you going to do with it? He goes, well, nothing. I just built it for the anniversary. I said, can we have it? That'll be our new church auditorium. And he gave it to us and we shipped it down here. And there it is. We had a brand new auditorium. It was lovely. By the way, it didn't cost us anything except for the price of the tarp. And no, we're not going to do that again. Okay? Next. There's the crowd underneath the tarp. You say, what did you do when it rained? It got wet. We started our patch, the pirate over there. I think that's Joanna there and Allison and Sarah. And I'm missing some people, some of our others. Next. That's the first year of our Christian school. They actually met in that 2,400 square foot building, believe it or not. Next. Time to buy. So, we decide it's finally time to buy a building. See the shirts? Time to buy. And on the back, that was our campaign to raise money. On the back, it said 3rd and Molino. We found a building over in Long Beach on 3rd and Molino, and it's like, this is a great building for us. And so we raised money to buy that building. We raised over $200,000. And for us at that time, a bunch of teenagers and it wasn't as many adults. That was a miracle. And so this was our little campaign to buy that building. Next. There's 3rd Molino. Say, how long did you guys meet in that building? We never did. The city, we raised the money for it. We had an agreement to buy it from the Presbyterians. Is there a picture after this or does it go to the next church? All right, go back. Okay, so this building, about a couple months before we were really getting active about getting in there, they decided to rent out to a Cambodian group, and we were a Cambodian church at that time. Well, there was a little bit of a gang fight on the property, and there was some shooting, and then the neighbors realized that a Cambodian church was coming in, and they got a little nervous, and I remember the councilman called us in, and I went to the meeting with Pastor Esposito, and he said, listen, they don't want you here. And now we were still going to go, but then we talked to a church planner, Grant Rice, and he said, that building's not good for you. And so we had to come back to the church and say, time to buy 3rd Molino. We're not going there. Now I remember, you say, what happened? Pastor had to go to the Presbyterian. They asked for a meeting with us, and so I went along with them. They tried to talk us into buying this building anyhow because they wanted the money. And we're like, you know what? We can't do it, blah, 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 blah. You know, we actually lost $15,000 down payment we put on the building. And so we shook their hands, and it was really an afterthought. Right when we got up and we're headed towards the door, one of the guys said, hey, just in case you might be interested, we have another property for sale. It's on Pacific Avenue in 25th. He says, why don't you guys at least go take a look at that? I mean, it was an afterthought. We were leaving. And so we went by and saw the building, the next one here. We saw this building on Pacific Avenue. And by the way, this building was nicer. This building was bigger. This building was in a better area. It had more square footage. And it was, I think, $100,000 cheaper. So God just showed us the new building. Next. We had to come through and remodel it like we did this one when we originally moved in. Next. There's the picture. By the way, little banner up there, we ran commercials one. We had commercials one time we ran. There's the newspaper back when they would put good stories on. They wouldn't do that now anymore because churches are their enemies. But next. That's the inside there. We were meeting in there. Next. That's Brother Mrs. Compa. That's when they started working in at our church and helping with the Spanish ministry. Next. Same thing, crowded. Next. Just to let you know, we've always had a parking problem, okay? Always. Nothing new. Next. There's our auditorium. Towards the end there, we used to go the long way, like this church was when we bought it, but we realized it's better if you do sideways. Everybody can see a lot better. It's just a lot nicer. So we did the best we could with that building. It was a great, great, great building. Next. There's the Steins. That's when they started coming, and we can't get rid of them still. I don't know what to do. But they were helping us there. That was an open house, and we closed down the street and had a big crowd. Next. The Fabros, same thing. They started coming. We can't get rid of them. It's where we started our Filipino ministry. By the way, I think it was Oscar and Maggie. The first time you came, you didn't come because you saw the banner. Was that you guys? Yeah. Oscar and Maggie were coming. They were going to visit our church, and they were looking for a church. And at that time, we started on the side of the building. We put a big banner up that said Filipino ministry. And they drove by, and they saw a Filipino. They thought, oh, this is a Filipino church, and they hated Filipinos, and so they didn't come. Just kidding. But they thought, oh, this is a Filipino church, you know, maybe they're speaking in Tagalog, I'm not sure. So they didn't come, and I think the next week or something they came by, or someone knocked on your door, and then you found out that it was a church for everybody, and they came, and we can't get rid of them either. Next, this is significant. That's our front lawn. We had an anniversary service on our front lawn right there. The interesting thing about this is this was on a Sunday. The Saturday before our anniversary is when we found out that God was going to give us this building right here. That was cemented, okay? Next. And then our present property. This building here was really run down. By the way, and many of you don't know this, but I think it was 1995 or the beginning of 1996 when we were still over at the Gray Box. By the way, Anaheim, I forgot to tell you, the building on Anaheim, we called it the Gray Box. You know why it was painted gray, right? We went to paint it, and we couldn't afford paint, so we took all the paint we had, and we mixed it all together, all different colors, and it came out gray. So that's the color we went with. But when we were meeting over there, this building was up for rent, and we came here. How many of you, was anybody at that meeting where we came and walked through the building? There was a few of us here, and they wanted a church that didn't have people. We brought about 50 people over there. Like, what are all these people? It's like our church members. Well, you want all those church members in the building? I'm like, well, it's kind of what a church building is for, right? And the guy kind of freaked out on us, but we tried to rent it back in 1996, 95. They would not rent to us. Pastor, for years, would walk around this building and pray that God would give it to us. So what has happened? We decided to sell the church over on Magnolia, over on Pacific, and look for a new building. Actually, we got a realtor and told her, we want you to find us a church building to buy. She came back and said, I have someone to buy your church building. And it's like, well, we kind of wanted you to get someone, get a building for us first. And so we were going to sell that building for $1 million. And I remember we had a meeting, and I probably shouldn't have done this, but we were in the meeting, and I for some reason at that time, I didn't really trust the lady. And she said, I got someone wants to buy it for $1 million. And the deacons went there and said, anybody have any questions? And I like raised my hand. I said, I think it's worth more. We should do an appraisal. Pastor kind of gave me that look like, what are you doing? And so I'm like, hey, I think it's worth more. So we paid for the appraisal, and actually it was $1.2 million. And so we got $200,000 more out of it. But Pastor had to tell her, said, go ask him if we can buy this. And so they went and asked him, and we offered them $1.8 million. And by the time they accepted our offer right away, and then by the time it was said and done, they took $100,000 off. We got it for $1.7. And so that was a great blessing. Couple pictures here and we'll be done. That's what it looked like when we came in. The grass was dead. Every one of those trees was dead. The inside of the building, to be honest with you, was dead. It was just, it needed a lot of help. Next. There it is right after we got done. We took all that stuff out, put new lawn and everything, and that's what it looked like before we've made some of the changes we've had to make. Next. That's our first service. Brother Stein. When you sell a building and buy one, you got to get out and get in right away, right? And so I think we sold it on December, when was Nathaniel born? What day? January 1st, right? So we sold it, the 31st was a Sunday, I believe, was our last service. When we had our last service over there on Sunday night, the 31st, we had to leave. So we stayed up overnight, a lot of guys, and took everything out of there. We came over here and we gutted this place. And so when we had the service, literally it was concrete. We had grooves cut in the floor, and we were just right in the middle of remodeling. It took us about 2 months, and so we kind of had to just go with it. But there we used to have a little park area right out where the new building is. There was a couple houses. Many of you remember. You remember the park area, the little amphitheater, and the basketball court. Many of you, if you're newer, you don't remember that. Next. Khmer service next, and we'll finish it up here. That's the morning service next. Again, I think that was one of our big days. Next, Brother Castle's class, they're still meeting outside. Next, that's my office, a Sunday school class. And I think Allison's teaching, and you see many of our girls there that you would recognize. They're still here. Next, that's the patio. That was our expansion. You know, Pastor's original thought was to blow this wall out and build out that way, but you know the problems with the city. It was never going to work. Next, there's that. Next, Brother Vong, and then our new building, the future, and God's led us to this point. Next, inside it's going to be beautiful. I don't think we realize how beautiful and nice it's going to be. Next, little area outside. Next. The gymnasium. By the way, it's not going to be that kind of scoreboard, but we have scoreboards already that were given to us, thanks to John. Next, the bookstore. There it is. Is that the last picture, Jeremy? Yes, sir. Thank you. All right, let's close it. Can we turn the lights on? Okay. Give me 5 minutes. Why do we look at all that? I want you to see that, first of all, we've been crazy forever. Okay? It's just who we are. It's just what we've had to do, and that's not going to change. But we also see that God has blessed us and led us from place to place. And so let me give you a couple principles from all of this, from the history of our church, to help us. Okay? First thing is this: reaching people must be front and center. That has always been what our church is about. We've never let the fact that we were limited on buildings keep us from being aggressive, going out and reaching people and helping people. By the way, if we were, that building on Anaheim, 2,400 square feet, you couldn't fit hardly anybody in there. We would have stopped right there like, oh, well, no, we can't do that. People need to be reached, and you got to do whatever it is, whatever we can do to reach people for Christ. Next, we cannot let limitations slow us down, okay? By the way, there's always going to be some type of limitation. Problems aren't there to stop you. Problems are there for you to solve it or go around them and keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. And we have always done that. By the way, I didn't mention, in the ones we had very limited space in the Anaheim building for a while, and our school had grown, so we had two shifts of school. We had a day shift and we had a swing shift, and kids would come at 2:30, one school would end, and then the night school would start. That's just how we had to do it. But we don't let limitations start us. We stop us. We've been outside. We meet in offices. We'll meet in, you name it, we'll do it, okay? If it's what it takes us to keep going forward. Next, we're never afraid to be creative, okay? We're not a conventional church. We're just not. We're a church. We're a regular church. But if we need to do something that's just a little unconventional, we're going to do it. It's about getting things done. It's not about, well, you know, just let's just slow down because we can't do that. We can't do that. Let's be creative. Next, don't let opposition stop you. Don't let opposition stop you. You know, when we were trying to plan for the new building, we had some opposition from some of the people in this area. By the way, they lied. Our first little meeting we had in the chapel, you know, we thought we're going to invite our neighbors. We had coffee. We had nice snacks for them. We had nice pictures outside of the new building for them to see and how it's going to be a blessing to the community and how we can serve them. And here came this group in, and they kind of took over the meeting. We had a nice PowerPoint to show them what we're going to do and how we're going to be helpful. And before we got to the PowerPoint, they just cut in and started saying things that were ridiculous. One of them got up and just absolutely lied and said, "They're parking in front of my house every Sunday." And we had our neighbor right across the street, Jacob. He lived here at that time. He said, "I've lived here." He goes, "Where do you live?" And the guy wouldn't answer the question. We tried to have them sign in to put their address to see where they live. These people didn't even live in our area. One of the ladies that was really against us, we called her, I'm not going to mention her name. We had a nickname for her. Not that it was bad. But I knocked on her door one time. My wife and I were out soul winning on Tuesday night, and I knocked on her door. And I didn't notice it. She had like 25 don't solicit signs, and I knocked on her door anyhow. And I'm like, oh, man. And then here she came. And so she didn't live close by here. She lives several, where if you park in front of her house, you're walking farther than if you just walk from where you live, okay? But people do that. And there was opposition and so forth. But God, by the way, our parking lot was opposition. They don't let you build buildings without a parking lot. They don't. But God allowed us to do that. Next, really, if we do our part, God will do his. And that's all we can do. We've taken, throughout the years, we've just taken what we've had. We've used it to the best of our ability. We've done what we can and left the rest to the Lord. We haven't done the thing, well, we can't do this because of that. We can't do that because of that. No. That's defeatist attitude. That's a losing mindset. A godly mindset says, listen, if this is all we have, we're going to do as much as we can with it that God's going to have to step in and take us to that next level. And God always does. And then the last thing, you can accomplish much if God is in it. If you have good people, and we have good people, that are willing to do everything they can, you can accomplish much. And I jokingly say this, you know, throughout, I don't think many of you would even have considered coming to our church until we came to Pacific Avenue. Okay? Unless you're just the type that like gang fights on church property. If you like that, you'd have come. I mean, the medal was up there for a reason. We had Jerry, armed security guard, at the front gate for a reason. They would come by. I remember one time we were out there and we were just about, you know, we had to come in. Everybody, come on, we're starting church. We had a lot of teenagers. And right across the street from the church was there was a kid we recognized. He was kind of a gang type of kid, but he had come to our church. We tried to help him. And he was arguing with some other gang members, and we tried to be peacekeepers. And so we went out there, Pastor and I went out there, and we calmed the situation down. As soon as we calmed the situation down, the kid we're trying to help started running his mouth again. The other guy was reaching for his gun. We're like, fine, if you want to get shot, that's on you. We're going to church, okay? You know, we're only going to do it. That was that whole neighborhood. We had some of our guys, and this is not right, but pray for them. We had across the street in a little nursery, we had like a learning center for some of the guys. And then they would have to cross the street to go to the main building to score their work. And so a couple of our guys were crossing the street to go score their paces, and a car full of gang guys pulled up and hopped out and jumped them. Now, unfortunately for those guys, they didn't realize we had other guys who were reached from the gangs that were there and saw what was happening. And so they kind of came out and evened up the numbers and pounded the snot out of those guys. We told them they shouldn't have done that, but as I walked away, I'm like, it doesn't bother me too much, okay? They were just, I said, man, what were you doing? He goes, brother, I was standing up for my Christian brother. I'm like, I'll go with that, that's fine. The point is, listen, that's, we just always did what we could. And now we're going forward. Listen, we're not going to have gang fights in the new building and all that stuff, but we got to reach as many people as we can. That's always been what we've done. Don't let anything stop you. Don't let anything stop us. Let's go forward. We can do a lot with a little and with God's help. Let's all stand this evening.